We are reading from Kabbalah for the Student, Peace in the World, page 93. In practical life, the four attributes contradict one another. You can ask questions live on CAP TV. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Page 96, Peace in the World. In practical life, the four attributes contradict one another. If the above practical difficulties which disturb us helpless people on our way are not enough, we have in addition a further mix-up and great battle of the psychological predispositions, meaning the attributes themselves within each and every of us individually, which are unique and contradictory to one another. For the four above attributes, mercy, truth, justice, and peace, which were divided in the nature of people, whether by development or by rearing, are in of themselves contradictory to one another. If we take, for example, the attribute of mercy in its abstract form, we find that its government contradicts all other attributes, meaning that by the laws of the rule of mercy, there is no place for the appearance of the other attributes in the world. What is the attribute of mercy? Our sages defined it, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is yours, chassid. And if all the people in the world were to behave by this quality, it would cancel all the glory of the attribute of truth and judgment. Because if each and every one were naturally willing to give everything he had to others and take nothing from another, then the whole interest in lying to one another would disappear. Also, it would be irrelevant to discuss the quality of truth, since truth and falsehood are relative to one another. If there were no falsehood in the world, there would be no concept of truth. Needless to say, all the other attributes which came only to strengthen the attribute of truth because of its weakness would be cancelled. Truth is defined in the words, what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours, that contradicts the attribute of mercy and cannot altogether tolerate it, since in truth it is unjust to labor and strain for another. Because besides failing his friend and accustoming him to exploit others, truth dictates that every person would treasure his own assets for a time of need, so he will not have to be a burden on his fellow man. Moreover, there is not a person without relatives and heirs that, in fact, should come before others, because so nature dictates that he who gives his property to others lies to his relatives and natural heirs by not leaving them anything. And peace also contradicts justice, because to make peace in the public, there must be conditions that by content promise the nimble and the smart, which invest their energy and wisdom to become rich, and those who are negligent and naive to be poor. Hence, he who is more energetic takes his own share and the share of his negligent friend and enjoys such a good life that there is not enough left for the negligent and naive to merely provide for their necessary livelihood. Hence, they remain completely bare and destitute in many ways. It is certainly unjust to punish the negligent and the naive so harshly for no evil. For what is their sin and what is the crime of those wretched people if Providence did not grant them agility and acumen that they should be punished with torments harsher than death? Therefore, there is no justice whatsoever in the conditions of peace, peace contradicts justice, and justice contradicts peace. Because if we order the division of property justly, meaning give the negligent and the naive a substantial portion of the part that the nimble and the energetic have, then these powerful and initiating people will certainly not rest until they overthrow the government that enslaves the great ones, the energetic ones, and exploit them in favor of the weak. Therefore, there is no hope for the peace of the collective. Thus, justice contradicts peace.
Whoever will twist and turn it, a world that is managed by these four virtues will be, by these four attributes, will be always in strife, and there will be never tranquility and balance. And it's very difficult for us to. And I once wanted to see whether there are some ordinates that could be investigated by these four attributes, what works first, what last, where this is more active, where that is more active, in which systems in Europe, in the US, in Russia, in Asia, to somehow, it's impossible. The world, once the world became global, it's very difficult to discern which attributes control here more or there more. But the truth is that everyone are incorporated from everyone else, and thus there is no hope for perfection, for peace, not as one of the attributes, but sort of the state will be peaceful. And thus we can speak more about these attributes, even though it's difficult for the time being, where we don't perceive them clearly, like bitter or sweet and something of such, because we have no flavors. We have never tasted these attributes. But let's wait a while, and later we'll be able to inquire them and really relate to them and understand how societies, with their mentalities, their approaches in different countries, including different religions, the way they approach themselves, including their histories and the histories of their interconnections and relations, how these attributes stick out, which are more practical and which aren't, and how by a certain prevalence of these attributes and not the others, certain nations and civilizations are found in a connection, but in a wrong connection between themselves. Thus, in every society, there's no chance for reaching a corrected state, and the same thing happens to the whole of humanity. But it does give us, if you inquire this properly, then you see how everything advances. Which attributes help to bring the individual and the society and the whole world to the recognition of evil? All in all. What?
That's the strongest topic in integral education. I want to say something. Continuing Leo's question, this tool. When we talk to people, if I understand how it works, I can get out of any situation and bring any.
You cannot enter this. Not only to exit, you're not yet capable of entering.
Get them out of this thought.
You care for yourself first so that you'll be in business. Later you'll be able to speak about taking someone out of this. And don't be so smart. You're very far from feeling these four attributes. You have to feel them. You have to live them. You have to feel where they are within you. Otherwise, how can you go to research them? I've only hinted to you that by feeling them, we'll be able to know which powers work in society and the way these forces lead societies and nations and civilizations in their different interconnections, because our state has become global. And then we'll be able to see how to advance from here. It is the method of the system of the development of human societies or something. I don't know how to really call it, but something of such. But for the time being, we're unable to be in it. We're unable to understand it. And additionally, what will happen if I'll go to explain this? What will people will look at me perplexed? There will be no benefit from it whatsoever. Let's wait. Everything should come in its time.
Oleg from Rovno is asking, if these will these answer attributes ever be cancelled or reach harmony?
They will develop. In the future, they will develop. Through them, we will attain perfection. Wait. You see, the next heading is the virtue, this nature, the singularity. How he's already speaking about using these attributes to be able to reach perfection. Okay?
Two questions. First of all, who is Bala Sulam writing this passage for? The leaders or society itself?
All the writings of Bala Sulam are from the smallest person and until the greatest person. Really. He writes it in such a manner that there is a light in all of his writings, the light of emotion, the light of intelligence, the light that forms, everyone receives from his writings what he's worthy of, what's best for him. He writes for everyone. I promised you that all the sages of the world, philosophers, bring him here, I can prove them that they don't understand what's written. Like everywhere else, they speak about the wisdom of Kabbalah and seemingly understand what we're talking about. It's clear to us that if you don't attain, how can you speak about it? The same thing applies here. These virtues, these attributes, no one can attain them if he's not, if he doesn't attain spirituality, because the reason for these attributes, the root, is spiritual.
There is a conclusion from this passage that to the extent to which society understands these inner attributes, then there's no need for leaders at all.
Society will have to swap her leaders from our current leaders to the synagogue of Israel, meaning that, well, Sanhedrin, or a group of sages who will lead. It used to exist before, in the past. It's slightly different than today, right? The people who will sit in such an assembly will be people who understand society, its nature, the nature of a person, who are connected to the higher nature, and they will be able to pass on their knowledge, their emotions, the upper force, the light through them to the whole world and educate the whole world. This is the future form. Yes, Amikam, just do it shortly.
In short, he says that the four attributes, they contradict in practical life. The question is about the thought. Thought and action. What does that mean? Is there a difference between intention and action and thought, and why necessarily in the action itself?
I don't understand what you mean by asking about practical life.
There's a thought which is which is an action. Is there an abstract thought which is not practical?
The thought is practical, because it's a thought.
We learn that The intention which clothes on matter is an intention that clothes on...
What is the matter?
That's what I'm asking. What is the action? Corporeal, physical... What is that? What is that action? Is it matter? What?
When I move a glass from one place to another, am I doing something or not?
No, the thought does.
Good. The fact that I want to move something somewhere, that's called an action. So what do you ask about?
So the question is, if in this place these four attributes contradict one another, then in which place in thought, which is not a practical thought, where can I...
I don't know. I don't want to enter into any of your philosophies. I said it to everyone, and I'm repeating myself again. You just need to know that by these four attributes, you can change everything. Only that, firstly, we need to reach a sensation, the revelation of these four attributes inside each and every one of us. And it doesn't come via an explanation, but through an inner effort, period. Until you won't reveal it, I won't speak to you about this any longer. So 5 years from now, I don't think that it will take less.
Is it possible to talk about a state where these four attributes that we have some grasp of, mercy, justice, truth?
Of course, what you mean and what he means is the same thing, the same justice and the same grace.
I know that in me they're contradicting, but...
Okay, allow us to continue, please, okay? Thank you.
The attribute of singularity in the egoism affects ruin and destruction. Thus you see how our attributes collide and fight one another, and not only between sects, but within each person. The four attributes dominate him all at once, or one at a time, and fight within him until it is impossible for common sense to organize them and bring them to complete consent. The truth is that the root of this whole disorder within us is no more than the above-mentioned attribute of singularity which exists within each of us, whether more or less.
This is why until we don't take into consideration this attribute, those attributes will never be able to be realized.
And although we have clarified that it comes from a sublime reason that this attribute extends to us directly from the Creator, who is single in the world and the root of all creations, still, out of the sensation of singularity, when it sits within our narrow egoism, it affects ruin and destruction until it became the source of all the ruins that were and will be in the world. And indeed, there is not a single person in the world who is free from it, and all the differences are only in the way it is used. For the desires of the heart, for ruling, or for honor, and this is what separates people from one another. But the equal side in all people of the world is that each of us stands ready to abuse and exploit all the people for his own private benefit with every means possible, without taking into any consideration that he is going to build himself on the ruin of his friend. And it is inconsequential what allowance each of us gives himself according to his chosen direction, since the desire is the root of the mind and not the mind the root of desire. In truth, the greater and more outstanding the person, precisely so is his attribute of singularity, greater and outstanding.
Until everyone won't come to the recognition of the height of the singularity that he has to reach according to his nature, we will not advance. Each and every one must see his egoistic shape in utter completeness, in its true shape. On his current level, of course. I mean only this degree, this corporeal degree in which we are currently at, in the world as we perceive it, in ourselves as we feel it, in this degree, in which is called this world, in this level. Everything I have to attain is firstly, as the fundament of the state, is how much I want for myself. And when I reach a state in which I feel that I have no one but me, I'm willing to let go on anyone. I am willing to do everything with everyone, to everyone, in order to attain the smallest drop of pleasure, whether it be, it might be tranquility or whatever it will be. I don't care about anything else but myself. When I clean aside all of my different calculations, and what remains is myself, this gram of a pleasure I can draw from anything, this most minimal extent of pleasure is worthwhile more than the whole world that can continue on suffering all along. Until a person doesn't reveal this, it doesn't mean that he knows oneself. That's called that he has reached the recognition of the virtue of singularity. Of his virtue of singularity. That's the recognition of evil. It's not about you, probably, Gershon, right? Well, go ahead, ask.
The recognition of what you described. Now, what's unique about it? Is it a common quality to everyone?
No. My fellow friend, it's a huge thing. You can't describe yourself how difficult it is to reveal that, because you constantly disagree with that. The evil inclination itself doesn't allow you to get to know itself.
Yes, that's clear. However, I'm saying that it unifies. I mean, everyone has that.
No, that's something you say in advance, but to reach such a decisive decision out of your sensation, you haven't reached that.
Clearly, but I want to understand, clarify, what is this degree of singularity?
Yes, that's the same ego. Yes. That's the virtue of singularity. That I'm special, I'm one, I'm single, me is me, and the rest, they don't exist, they're not here. That's such a feeling that I can be naked, I can talk whatever I feel like, I cannot take into consideration anyone. I don't want to take anyone into consideration. My perception, they're not in my perception whatsoever. They don't exist. I don't perceive them as existing. It's like a person who gets naked when he's alone with himself. So that's how he feels he can be in the world. He feels alone in the world. Who are the rest? There are no rest. He cannot take them into account. They don't exist within his, imagination, sensations. They don't exist. Okay? Yes?
Maybe I'll try and ask it through an example. Say when we engage in education, then we try and find what's unique about each one of the kids, say, and to support him on that, to empower those qualities.
Yes, these attributes, whatever sticks out in every child, where he tends to.
So here's the question, because he writes that the sensation of singularity...
No, it's not about that. No. The fact that one can listen well, the other can draw well, the third can do something else well, no, it has nothing to do with that. Yes, Mush.
And why our ego hides from us getting to know that state? Is it feel shame? Does the person feel shame to think that it's so little?
No, that's the way our egoism protects itself. It doesn't want you to suffer.
The ego doesn't want.
The ego doesn't want you to suffer. Your ego watches you, looks after you remaining within it. once you'll see how evil you are, you will immediately want to get rid of this evil. So he has this way of covering it. He gives you to see it, and then he doesn't. He gives you to see it, and then he doesn't. What for? So that you will eventually delve into this. You will get to know your ego to its fullest extent, to its fourth aspect, and then you will run away. Otherwise, you will flee. If the ego won't conceal this unpleasant sensation that you're the only one who's such an egoist, then you will never get close again to the revelation of your evil. Thus, your ego covers it up again, and then you're doing it again, and eventually you come to a state in which you think, I wish this ego was dead. Why is it here? Suddenly you're being shocked by your own thoughts. And what about him and that person? What about these people? I would prefer to get rid of them. And then you're again being shocked. And your ego is constantly... Every virtue works in its own direction and in the opposite way. Because otherwise you won't be able to reach its deepest degree, its fourth aspect. But, yes.
What nevertheless can protect me for me to come to such recognition, awareness, how to advance?
If you're not attracted to the good, you will never get to know the bad. That's our basic rule in every state. I have to go towards the good like a blind person. Bestow the friends, the greatness of the goal, forward, forward, forward. I don't know anything. And instead of reaching that, on the way I discover really not like emptiness, destruction, ruin, but only in condition that I'm attracted towards the good. Thus it is written, do whatever you can. Do good things, that's it. You want to attain the goal. Be like a child, like an infant, someone doesn't understand, a moron, I don't know. It doesn't matter, I want this. And on the way, you will get wiser, you'll feel, everything will happen on the way. The most important thing is to do it. Well, yes, Nessie.
Can we do preparation towards the revelation of evil prior to its revelation? Meaning once it is revealed, the correction already occurs. Is the preparation for such thing?
No. We don't prepare ourselves for the evil. It's not good.
To the revelation of evil.
I've heard from one person who used to work in the circus. So he said, in the circus, there is a very simple rule. Before you're doing something, you check where you will fall. That's a rule. Wake up. That's a rule. The rule of the work in the circus. You know, they climb on different things and so on. So when I'm doing any kind of emotion, I already know in advance that if something happens, I know where I fall. And how do I fall? In which position? You understand? So this is correct. In the corporeal world, relatively, it has also a similar form in the spiritual world. But it's not that I work in order to fall. That's what you're asking. We are heading forward and forward and forward. And as a result of our work, we need to prepare what is behind us, we need to prepare what will happen behind us, but we don't think about what will happen if we won't succeed. We just continue on forward. We prepare the rear part, and that's it.
So when there's a recognition of evil, when it is revealed, what are the data? What one does one need to do precisely when the evil is revealed?
It's not a question, because if the question is, are you capable of doing something or not?
So what is desirable to do?
If the recognition of evil is revealed, so what? I immediately have the understanding and the appropriate emotions to work with it, to inquire this and to see myself on the side, or maybe I'm delved into this evil, I don't know what's going on to me in a day or two, are passing, just like after a convention, everyone are with their mouth open, no one knows what to do. So what can you do? There's nothing you can do. I look at you and I see the people are dead, unconscious. And in this unconsciousness, they've received a certain blow, and now they are in a delay. Later, gradually, the state begins to be clarified, the light works more, and they start, after 2 or 3 days, usually on the third day, there's something there's something special in those 3 days. Then you can start talking to them. Then they can listen. They can hear something about their state. Beforehand, they don't even hear in which state they are. That's how it is. Well,
title, using the nature of... Again, using the nature of singularity as a subject of evolution in the collective and in the individual. Now we shall penetrate into understanding of the direct conditions that will finally be accepted by humanity at the time of the appearance of world peace, and learn how its conditions are good to bring a life of happiness to the individual and the collective, and the willingness in humanity to want to finally burden themselves with those special conditions. Let us return to the matter of singularity in the heart of every person, which stands to swallow the whole wild world for its own pleasure. Its roots extend directly from the unique one to the people which are his branches. Here there is a question that demands an answer. How can it be that such a corrupted form will appear in us so as to become the father of all harm and ruin in the world, and how from the source of every construction extend the source of every destruction? We cannot leave such a question unanswered. Indeed, there are two sides to the coin of the above-mentioned singularity. If we examine it from its upper side, from the side of its equivalence with the unique one, it works only in the form of bestowal upon others. For the Creator is all bestowal, and has nothing of the form of reception. Because he lacks nothing and needs to receive nothing from the creatures he has created. Therefore, the singularity that extends to us from him must also act only in forms of bestowal to others and to receive nothing for ourselves. On the other side of that coin, meaning how it actually works in us, we find that it operates in the complete opposite direction, because it operates only in forms of receptions for oneself, such as the desire to be the only great rich man in the world. Thus, above two sides are as far apart from one another as the east from the west. That gives us the solution to our question, how is it possible that within the same singularity which stems and comes to us from he who is unique in the world, who is the source of every construction, serve us as the source of every destruction? This has come to us because we use that precious tool in the opposite direction, which is self-reception. And I am not saying that the singularity in us will never act in us in a form of bestowal, because you cannot deny that amongst us are people whose singularity operates in them in a form of bestowal upon others too. such as those who spend all the money for the common good and those who dedicate all the effort to the common good, etc. But those two sides in the coin that I have described speak only of the two points of development of creation, which brings everything to completion, starting in absence and gradually climbing the degrees of development from one degree to the next, higher up, and from there to the higher still until it comes to the submit, which is its preordinate measure of perfection, and there it will remain forever.
It's clear, right? Then the singularity that works positively in the Creator works negatively within us. That's all he writes.
The order of development of those two points is A, the starting point, the lowest degree, which is close to complete absence. It is described as the second side of the coin. B, the summit, where it rests and exists forever. And that is described in the first side of the coin. But this era that we are in has already developed to a great extent and has already risen many degrees. It has already risen above its lowest phase, which is the above-mentioned second side, and has come significantly closer to the first side. Therefore, there are already people among us who are use their singularity in forms of bestowal upon others. But there are still few, as we are still in the midst of the path of development. When we come to the highest point of the degrees, we will all be using our singularity only in a form of bestowal upon others, and there will never be any case of any person using it in a form of self-reception. By those words, we find the opportunity to examine the conditions of life in the last generation, the time of world peace, when the whole of humanity achieved the level of the first side and will use their singularity only in the form of bestowal upon others and not at all in the form of reception for itself, for self. And it is good to copy here the above-mentioned form of life, so it will serve us as a lesson and as a role model to settle our minds under the flood of waves of our lives. Perhaps it's worthwhile, and possibly in our generation too, to experiment in resembling this above form of life.
Questions?
Why does he say that maybe there's a question here, maybe not, about our generation, about running a trial along that? The last sentence.
Perhaps it is worthwhile and possible in our generation too to experiment in resembling this above form of life. So what?
It's not clear that it is possible?
It depends upon you. Thus he writes, maybe. Perhaps. You're going for, as if it is for sure. But he says about the same thing, perhaps. I don't understand why that he doubts it, of course. Because he doubts the fact whether you'll succeed in it or not. Everything depends upon you.
But I'm a ragdoll. What am I about to...
No. How come? If you ask for help from above, then the Creator does it, as always. More questions. Yes, Misha.
I will ask the opposite way. Only if a person wants good and is trying wholeheartedly to do the good and the revelation of evil occurs within him.
No, but on the way, he acquires also good powers when he has the right side, and thus the left is revealed.
Precisely. So why people sometimes fall when they have a descent? Why sometimes when people have a descent, they leave the way, the path?
Because they don't complete it.
But the evil is being revealed to them only thanks to their work. So they had the right.
Correct, but now the evil has grown.
So that's exactly the question. How can it be revealed more than what they did in positive?
If the evil will never be greater than the good, you will never get to feel the evil. You will never get to know the evil. It's as if you have one leg which is okay and the other leg is limping and just being dragged after the first one. It doesn't march forward. Your left has to be in the same state as your right. Only that in your right, you prepare the right perception of the revelation of evil, of the left. So you can ask, if he has prepared himself to perceive the left, why doesn't he perceive the revelation of the left correctly? Because he hasn't prepared himself properly. He hasn't prepared himself properly. It's not enough. If it was enough, ideally speaking, then you could ask, if so, then he would have experienced a descent in the left. He would have felt his descent in a slow manner, gradual manner, and he was able to hold on even during his descent onto the same shapes of adhesion as he had during his ascent. But then that's called that not his left controls, rather his right. We will worry to speak about it. You see, there's much to say here. Yes, Mush.
Following the question, if I interpret correctly what bad is, then for me, seemingly bad is that I'm not thinking sufficiently about the others. And so I didn't see a person live because he doesn't bestow to the others, that he feel bad because of it and he live because of that. So how to understand what you've just explained, that the evil is being revealed and the person lives? There's no such thing.
No, he doesn't reveal evil this way. He reveals evil in the fact that he doesn't see any benefit in it. He gets fed of it. He doesn't have a good sensation. Nothing happens. There are different things.
So seemingly there are two forms of revelation of evil. We're speaking of the evil that a person tried to connect.
And let's say he cannot connect.
Yeah, he can't and he feels bad about it.
And here it's an evil in your sensation. No, you have 4 degrees in every feeling, in every sensation, until you reach the final degree where you reveal the reason. If you reveal at the end of your recognition of this state, the reason, the brought to it, then you remain, then you stay. Because then you see retroactively all the states you underwent, you see the purposefulness in them, and then you think for them. That it's wonderful that I've revealed it, and so on and so. But if you haven't reached the end yet, and you're only experiencing different sensations, and you have different calculations next to these thoughts, then you can leave. Yes?
So it turns out that a person is now making efforts in order to unite. Then the first state that appears to him as opposite is bad. These are just things, could be corporeal problems. And then gradually he comes to the last recognition that eventually that it is because it can't bestow upon others.
Okay, you can say that.
But the first state, he can't even connect the evil that is revealed to the goal. Because it could be just some illness, some problems that are being made redundant at work.
Everything can happen. The reasons are not important. The most important thing is how much I connect those things to the upper, to the Creator, that He is the one who brings to me all that in order to advance me. If I'm able to connect it to the Creator, then I cannot possibly feel this as evil, because I attained the goal by that.
No.
Well, yes. Pass the mic to this American. He still listens with earphones.
about exactly what you just said. You can't feel anything as bad if he connects you to the Creator.
Can you repeat that?
About exactly what you just said, that a person can't feel anything as bad if he connects everything to the Creator.
לגבי מה שאמרת, שאדם לא יכול להרגיש רע אם הוא מקשר הכל לבורא?
No. זה לא יכול להיות שיתגלה.
No, it's impossible that you will reveal the connection with the Creator and a bad sensation alongside that.
No.
Along the way, you said anything can happen, the most unbearable problems imaginable.
אבל אמרת שבדרך יכולים לקרות הדברים הכי גרועים שאפשר לדמיין.
כן.
Correct. And these things are revealed in detachment from the Creator. Once a person feels bad, the connection with the Creator disappears.
So the Creator breaks your arm, you feel bad. You're reading the books, it's not fixing your arm.
אם הבורא שובר לך את היד ואתה מרגיש רע, זה שתקרא בספר לא יתקן לך את היד.
It won't fix your arm, so what? Someone said it will?
Until your arm is fixed, you can't connect to the Creator.
אז עד שהיד שלך לא מסתדרת, לא מתקנת, אתה לא יכול להתקשר לבורא.
מה זה קשור לזה?
How are those things connected? I don't understand.
I'm trying to understand. The Creator gives us problems so that we connect them to him.
אני מנסה להבין. הבורא נותן לנו בעיות כדי שאנחנו נקשר את זה אליו.
הוא לא נותן לנו בעיות.
He doesn't give us problems. He reveals to us our nature so that we will want to cling unto him and to reach abundance. By revealing to us who we truly are, by this He awaits for us to reach him.
No.
Well,
no matter how many times I hear it, I can't see the advice as to I don't see the advice in it. I only feel the pain.
כמה שאני לא שומע את זה, אני עדיין לא מוצא בתוך זה את העצה. אני רק מרגיש את הכאב.
צריכים ללמוד יותר.
We need to study more. To be delved into it more, then you will understand it faster. I have no other advice than that. Well, we will conclude by that our studies today, as usual, at 6:30, right? We'll have... No, what?
Moshe from LA is saying that today, about an hour before the workshop for integral education, there'll be connection workshops of the Friends on the West Coast in order to unite and connect the powers for dissemination and unity. So what questions would you suggest to them to run in the workshop?
Now you're asking me this question in a minute. You want me to answer that? They know all our previous workshops. Do we have the workshop somewhere in the archive? It's a place where everyone can download them. Yes? Okay. So, the way the questions were prepared in advance, or the way I actually asked them during the lessons? Well, you know what? You can call me on Skype or something. We'll speak. I don't know. But he has people to consult with. And that's it. So, we'll advance. In the evening, we have this hour before we will meet. There will be a meeting there, and virtually, from Los Angeles. And then we have our usual meeting from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Israeli time, local time.
Sunday, Unity Day on CAP TV. Today is Sunday, 6:30 p.m. We'll continue in a series of integral education. As part of the training, we'll have a lesson and a workshop with Rav Lightman. We invite everyone to join us on CAP TV or on Sviva Tova. The joy of unity, International World Congress in Scandinavia. Friends in the world, CLI, we're happy to invite you to Congress of Unity from the 30th of August till the 1st of September in Stockholm, Sweden. And you can get details on eurocongress.info. Have a wonderful day.
הסתיו שלך זו השלכת שלי האביב שלך זו הפריחה שבי מלחמה שלך זו מלחמה שלי השמחה שלך זה האושר שבי הלילה שלך הוא הלילה שלי ירח מלא גם לך ולי האמת שבך זו האמת שבי הלבן שלך הוא הזכות שלי כולנו יחד באותה סירה זה אני ואתה בטוב וברע רק ביחד השם שלך זה המים שלי הבית שלך זה העוגן שלי האהבה שבך נמצאת גם בי
הכאב שלך הוא הסבל שלי האושר שלך זה השמחה שבי הפחד שלך זה הרעד שבי העולם שלך הוא הכל בשבילי